Today is November 5th, year 2006, the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost. Now, it's interesting what our gospel reading was today, because I've been trying to write this book, Give Caesar His Due, now for at least a year. So there we go. I'm going to be writing on this book. It's very important to write on this topic, because I don't want people to mistake Mary's Little Run, us Catholics, with the patriotic movement people that are actually really rebels at heart. They're rebelling against the United States for the wrong reasons. You know, and you're not supposed to rebel against your lawful leaders unless there's some lawful war against them for a purpose. You need to have a pope or somebody to institute a break with them. I don't want to be associated with these people that don't want to pay taxes because they're nothing more than a bunch of cheapskates. And they're a bunch of robbers and liars because they're rebels too. This whole country really was founded on rebellion. So even these patriot people are rebelling. So we don't want to be associated with these people. Jesus Christ proves to us today that we have to give our lawful leaders what is their due. Give Caesar his due and give the church what is their due. Okay? And first thing I'll just briefly state out is why do God's chosen people find themselves living under non-Catholic rulers or under the Old Testament, under pagan rulers? Why does God allow that to happen to his chosen people? And under the New Covenant era, God's chosen people are Catholics and Catholics only. There is no other chosen people. You're Catholic and you're God's chosen people, or you're not. Now, why does God allow Catholics during the New Covenant era and the Israelites and his other chosen people during the Old Covenant era to be ruled by pagans? Well, there's basically two reasons. One of the reasons is because his chosen people become very sinful, and then God punishes them by delivering them into the yoke of the pagan. We know that under Jeremiah's day when he said that the king of Babylon is going to come in and take over Israel and Jerusalem as a punishment for your sins against God, and you must now submit to his yoke. And if you don't, it's going to be even worse. He's not just going to come in and put you under slavery, his yoke. He's going to destroy the temple and everything you have and then take you into exile. So it's a constant thing with God that when his chosen people go bad and they sin against him, he delivers into the hands of the heathens and the pagans and the ungodly people. And he lets them be ruled by the ungodly. And he also tells them, when you are in exile, just when the Jews were in exile in Babylon, you must obey your lawful rulers and all things except sin. God never wants you to obey your rulers and anything that is sinful. We're going to get into that in a minute. The other reason that God's chosen people find themselves in non-Catholic lands is not because of any sin on their part, but even because they're very just and God wants them to go in there to evangelize the pagan nations that have not yet been evangelized. When the Catholic Church would send in missionaries into non-Catholic lands to evangelize them, you will have a small community of Catholics now living in an ungodly non-Catholic land, and their job is to try to convert that land. So those are the two basic reasons in which you will find God's chosen people being ruled by God's non-chosen people, by pagans and people that are ungodly. God ordains it. Now, it's also common sense, too, because Jesus said that most people are going to hell and that this world is really predominantly ruled by Satan. The only time that God's kingdom really ruled mostly was during the height of the Holy Roman Empire, when we had most of the nations in the world, but we still didn't have them all. And now we're in the days of great apostasy, when it's back to the old pagan ways again, when almost the whole world's pagan. So it's obvious that there's most of the times in history God's chosen people are going to be under the yoke of non-Catholics. And the reason us Catholics find ourselves in the United States today is because it's a punishment because of the bad Catholics. We read that in Jeremiah 5:31, where Jeremiah says, "The prophets prophesied lies. The priests clap their hands, and my people love such thing." And so then God says, because you have broke away from my sweet yoke, I will let the Judeo-Masonic bums conquer you, and you will now go under the yoke of ungodly nations, and you will lose your kingships. You will lose your Catholic kingships. And so that's what we are being punished. That's basically what's happened here in the United States. God's put us under this modern-day Babylon. You could look at the United States like a modern-day Babylon, and it is. And I would say that the modern-day Babylon in the United States is even much worse than Nebuchadnezzar's Babylon. It's more immoral, and it is worse. But still, nevertheless, the parallels are there. And we're not saying, when you give Caesar his due, that doesn't mean you're telling Caesar that, hey, you're just okay with God. That doesn't mean that. Now, we got to get into look at Christ, what he said himself in today's gospel reading. They were trying to tempt him, and he says, look, whose inscription is this? See, give Caesar what is Caesar's due, right? Now, Christ knew that the pagan Romans were using the taxes to build idols and to propagate a pagan empire, but nevertheless, what did Christ say? You're punished. You're under the yoke of the Roman. You got to pay him what his due is. God's put him over you to punish you for your sins. Give him the taxes. Now, even here, Jesus is talking about that in this other verse, about specifically about giving tax money to non-Catholics. See, a lot of people would say, but if I'm giving my money to the United States, they're supporting abortion. They're supporting homosexuality. I'm sure they are. That's all an abomination. We don't support that. We fight against that, but we still nevertheless are under the yoke of the pagan nation, and we have to give what is due to Caesar. How he spends the money, that's his business. Because Christ is telling us right here in Mark 17:23-26, and when they were come to Capernaum, they had received the didi drachmas. They that received the didi drachmas came to Peter and said to him, doth not your master pay the didi drachma? That's like money. That's the didi drachma is money. And is he not paying the tax? He said, yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus preventing him, saying, what is thy opinion, Simon? The kings of the earth, of whom do thou receive tribute or custom, are their own children or of strangers? And he said, of strangers. And Jesus said to him, then the children are free. But that we may not scandalize and go to the sea and cast in a hook, and that fish which thou first come out, take, and with that, and when thou hast opened its mouth, thou shalt find a stater, which is money. Take that and give it to them for me and for thee. Matthew 17:20-37. See, he's talking in here, we have to pay our taxes. He's paying his taxes to the Roman government. Jesus is telling his apostles to pay his taxes. So we are not. I want nothing to do with these patriotic rebels. They're no better than the people in the United States that are running. They're all the same, really, but they're even worse. It's a spirit of rebellion. Why do you not want to pay your taxes anyway? Even though these people are ungodly in this nation, there still is some semblance of order. We all have to know that. Because people have a law upon heart. They care about their own survival. Even the worst pagans care about their own survival. For instance, you take a look in this city. We get our water. We have our sewage system. We have garbage pickup. You still do have policemen. If anything really bad goes wrong, you can call a cop, he'll come out. You've got to pay for those things. God has put these rulers over to you to watch out for your good, even though they're evil. We're not saying that the United States is good. It's not. It's a diabolical nation, which God is going to destroy. He destroyed Babylon, too. After he put the Jews under the yoke of Babylon, he says, and you, Babylon, my people have finally done their time, they're going to be freed, and I'm going to destroy you. So the United States is going to be destroyed. They are evil. But God still has a semblance of order in every type of government. And we have to obey the rules. And we have to show the people in the United States, too, because we want to convert them. We care about their souls, so we don't want to scandalize them. We don't want to say that we're just rebels who don't want to obey anybody. For instance, what's wrong with paying taxes? Taxes is going towards the good. And even if it was excessive taxes, Christ says still do it. You've got to pay the taxes. People want to go out and have all their street lights, and they want to have some order in society, but they don't want to pay taxes. We're not going to fall into that category, these rebellious, patriotic movement people. We are not like that. Okay, now there are certain things we will resist the government on when it deals with sin. We're only supposed to obey Caesar in all things except sin. So if Caesar tries to tell us to do something immoral, if Caesar tries to tell us to do something against our faith, if Caesar blasphemes our God, we're going to attack Caesar. Then we are going to attack him. Because you realize we don't have to obey Caesar in all things. Obvious, we obey God first in his church. When St. John and Peter were arrested and taken before the religious leaders at that time even, but they weren't really the religious leaders at that time anymore, but they had the temporal power in the temple and all that. And even the Romans never did command them to stop talking about Christ. Only the Pharisees did. Yeah. And they told them, I command you not to talk anymore in the name of...
Yeah, obey God.
He says, we're going to obey God rather than men. So we're not saying that we're going to obey every law in the United States. If it's an unjust law, we're going to resist it. We resist abortion. We resist any type of law that tries to take our kids out of homeschool and put them into the public school system. We resist homosexuality laws. We resist feminism tooth and nail. We can't compromise on that. And if now the point comes, when does that resistance become an all-out war? If they force us to take our kids out of homeschool? If they try to force our women to have abortions, if they try to force homosexual agenda on our kids, then we go to war.
Yeah.
Then we fight, no, tooth and nail. Then it comes, you're going to have to kill me before you take my kid and put him in public school. Or you're going to have to subdue me and lock me in jail. And I will tell my kid when he goes into that public school, I want you to scream all the Hail Marys out loud all day during school. Don't listen to one thing they say. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord, as the teacher's speaking. Hail Mary. I can't, they're going to kick you out of the class eventually. And then if they put tape over your mouth, I want you to mumble it. Make noise, stamp your feet. We aren't going to go into your pagan school system. So, because now there's the point. The Democrats want to get all the kids into the school system to brainwash them with this pagan infestation and corrupted educational system, which is nothing more than satanic brainwashing. That's the point where we don't obey Caesar, you understand? But Caesar's no dummy. He knows that there's enough people like us and he doesn't want to antagonize us right now. Eventually, Antichrist is going to try to force us to do all this. And that's when we're going to have to make a total break. Now, the other point is, the only time you can resist Caesar is also when you have our ruling religious leaders, the Pope, could come out and tell you that this particular king or this particular leader is so bad, I remove your allegiance from him and I declare war against him. And I want you all to war against him and do all within your power to knock him out of power. Pope can do that because he's over every earthly king. And he can then break our allegiance from any earthly ruler. If an earthly ruler gets so bad that he's threatening the very souls, not even lives, but souls of our children, and then we have to resist him. But other than that, we have to give Caesar his due. We want to show these people we're not rebels. We're not against paying taxes. We're not against law and order. We know there needs to be a semblance of law and order. We truly are the ones that want to have a true peace. And so those things in which we can, even those things in which there are just laws, we can try to promote those laws because they are good. I mean, and that's why I say to the people, you want to have a cop come out and help you when you have something wrong, but you don't want to pay your taxes. You want to have the garbage man pick up your garbage so garbage is not laying over the street, but you don't want to pay your taxes. You want to have running water, but you don't want to pay your taxes. You want to have a sewage system in the cities so you don't have to use an outhouse or whatever. There's nothing wrong with that, using a house in the public stuff. But all these people still got to understand that as bad as the government is, there's still a semblance of order in it, because even pagan people have certain laws upon the heart, as bad as the world even is today, still have some semblance of order. So we do, Jesus said, have to give Caesar his due. And that means, and I'm going to go into what that entails, what our duty is. I already spoke briefly about it. But I'm just going to talk, end up with one is paying taxes, which I just got done talking about. We must pay our taxes. And the point is, too, you don't want to end up going to jail for the wrong thing. Now, I don't want to go, no one wants to go to jail, but our Lord says we are going to end up in jail, a lot of us. But why do you want to go to jail? I want to go to jail because of the Catholic religion and faith. I want to go to jail because they're going to accuse me, like we're reading the martyrologies all the time. So-and-so was put in jail and killed because he was accused of being a Catholic. That's why I want to go to jail, because of my religious beliefs. I don't want to go to jail because I'm against the federal income tax, and I'm going to try to muster up all these rules about what the jurisdiction, why I don't got to pay it. That's not the reason I want to go to jail. I don't want myself to go down in the history books as being martyred because I'm against the federal tax system, you know? Now, if there's something unjust, we're going to go against it, yes. And if you could fight against an unjust tax law, you're allowed to do that. Even this nation still gives you rules in which you can fight against unjust tax laws. So we have to submit in all things that are not sinful to the rightful rulers that God has put under us. And we also have to, here's our other duty, we have to love them and we have to pray for them. It doesn't mean you have to like them. It doesn't mean you can still abhor them if they're very sinful rulers and leaders. Most of your Democrats are most pigs of them all. Even your Republicans are not good. But one of our duties when we're living in a non-Catholic state is to pray for the good of the state, for the conversion of all the people. And as you notice, every time God's chosen people, even if they were being punished and went into exile and were put under ungodly rulers because of their own sins, there were two types of God's chosen people that were put under the yoke of ungodly people. Those who were really bad and really sinners, obstinate sinners, and that's why they went into exile. But some just men and women were taken into exile too, because they had to suffer along with their brothers, because the predominance of God's chosen people are evil. The good had to suffer along with the evil. But even some of those obstinate sinners, when they went into exile, ended up converting because it was a penance. They got down on their knees and said, "Oh, my Lord God, please lift this yoke upon us. We have sinned against thee. We can see all the pains and all the sorrows we're now going through. How much better it was when we had our own land and you were blessing us. But then we turned to idols, and after we turned to the idols, you have punished us, and now we are suffering grievously. Please, I repent of my idolatries. I repent of my sins against the faith and of immoralities, and I turn back to the Lord God. So exile and under is a time of repentance for certain people too. And at the same time, you are witnessing to those nations to which God has dispersed you to convert them. And so your duty is to pray and work for the conversion of the non-Catholics in the non-Catholic land that you're living in. And that's your number one duty. Number one duty is to save your own, to give God glory and save your own soul. So I'd say your number two duty is to save souls of your neighbors. So if you're in a non-Catholic land, your duty is to pray and work for the salvation of the immortal souls of all the non-Catholics in the United States. For instance, where are we talking about praying for your leaders? St. Paul says this right here in 1 Timothy 2, 1-4. I desire, therefore, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are high in station, that we may lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all piety and chastity. For this is a good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Mm-hmm. So God is telling us, pray for Bush, pray for even the Democrats, pray for the Republicans, pray for any leaders in this country. Pray that God may open up their hearts to the gospel of the Catholic Church and convert them. And pray that God may at least, even if they're not going to convert, turn their hearts to be favorable to us. If you notice when Daniel was in Babylon and the three Hebrew children, Nebuchadnezzar was what you would call, and because of the prayers of the Jews, his heart was made soft towards the Jews. He was favorable to them. And many times, he got outrageous at other times and wanted to have total worship, and his people under him instigated that so they can go against Daniel. But for a great portion of the time, these rulers allowed the Jews to worship their own God and did interfere with them. The Pharaohs even did this under Egypt. So we're praying for our leaders, for God, please, first of all, turn their hearts so that they would be favorable to us, even if they don't convert. That's our first prayer, because we want to have favorable conditions to save our souls. We want to be able to live the Catholic faith, propagate the Catholic faith, and save our souls. So that's the first reason we're praying, that God would turn the heart of the non-Catholic leaders to favor us, at least not to oppress us grievously. And then we're praying for the very conversion of those leaders. And the way you're going to convert those leaders is by praying for them, by preaching the salvation dogma to the leaders, that they got to become Catholic, preaching that their government ultimately is not good, that it's really an ungodly government. You got to preach to them, and you got to pray for them. And then the governor's going to look at you. He's going to say, are these good people? Hey, you know, these Catholics are really good. They're doing a lot of good work under this kingdom. They're just. They're honest. You can hire them, and they don't steal. Even the thief doesn't like to hire somebody who steals. That's why a lot of these thieving Jews, and we know all these passe Jews, most of them are thieves and stealers, they used to hire years ago Catholics because they knew Catholics would steal from them. So you're given a testimony that these people, basically, there's a goodness in them. And this is, if you notice what happened in Daniel, Daniel's a good example. It wasn't just Daniel, it was Jeremiah and Ezekiel. This is all happening at the same time during the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, converted Nebuchadnezzar. He actually converted at the end of his life by the good example of Daniel. So we have to pray for the non-Catholic leaders, so that God would move their hearts first to make it, to not oppress us, so we can be able to do what we need to save our soul, and also to allow us even to go out there and preach to others without oppressing us. Now, we are going to get oppression. That's going to happen anyway. Nothing comes without a battle, but that's our ultimate prayer. And sometimes it's going to take those conflicts to get the attention of these political leaders. But we don't want to be dragged before court and the political leaders to say to us, the accusation against you is for not paying your taxes. And that the accusation is against you is that you're a rebel against the state and you're breaking laws. You're running through red lights because you're a Catholic. You're free to do whatever you want. You know what I mean? That we don't want to go to jail for. Because then see, that's what they try to, the Jews are trying to say Jesus was like a rebel against the state. He wasn't a rebel against the state. Everywhere here, Jesus is saying, do what you have to do in the state. Look what they're saying here. Here's a commentary on Mark 12:14. Why were they testing Jesus about Caesar? They wanted Jesus to come out and say, don't pay your taxes, so Jesus would get arrested on a non-religious reason, as a rebel against the state. This contradicts everything these apostate Jews are saying today, that Jesus was a rebel against the state, and that's why Pilate... No, Pilate actually liked Jesus. He said, I find nothing wrong with this guy. Jesus was the complete opposite of a rebel against the state, like these patriotic movement people try to claim Jesus for their own. But we know only Catholics can claim the true Jesus anyway. But here's what the true Jesus is talking about in Caesar's, to give Caesar his due. And the reason is this. Look, here's the motive behind why the Pharisees were asking him that question. because they want them to answer it wrong so that he can be arrested for non-payment of taxes. A non-religious reason. And the commentary, Haydock commentary, says this in Haydock 12:14. The disciples of the Pharisees said this in order to induce the Savior to answer them, that they were not to pay tribute to Caesar, because the people of God, because they are the people of God. An answer they confidently anticipated, in which the Herodians, hearing it, might immediately apprehend him, and thus remove the odium from themselves to Herod, and also have him be blamed and arrested for a tax purpose, and not for a religious purpose. He's a rebel against it for not paying his taxes. So you don't want to go down, when we go to jail, and none of us wants to go to jail, but we know what's going to happen. So if it's not a matter of whether I want it or don't want it. If it happens, it happens. But I want it to be for a Catholic reason. I want it to be because this guy is a tyrannical Catholic. He says you got to believe in his God. He's denouncing all false gods. He denied the Holocaust. You can put me in jail because that's a religious purpose. The Holocaust is a hoax. Yeah. It has replaced the Passion of Christ. I'll never shut up about that. If you threaten to throw me in jail over that, you're going to have to throw me in jail. That's one thing we don't obey. I will not obey your laws when it comes to anything sinful or denying any truths that are any truths. And any truth that involve the immortal salvation of people's souls and morals. Those things we will resist Caesar on. Those things, it is our duty to resist Caesar. You know? And even now, that's as I said before, you try to take one of our kids and put him into public school system, you're in trouble. Because I'll tell you one thing, you're either going to have to kill me or subdue me and lock me up in prison because I'm going to fight for that. We'll have guns in this house then shooting at you, and I'll say, shoot us back and we'll die as martyrs. My kid is not going into that paganistic, hedonistic, brainwashing public school where his soul is going to be killed. And when the soul is killed, that's eternal death. You're in the state of damnation and on the road to hell. There's nothing worse than the death of a soul. I'd rather have my children get killed as martyrs than have to be subjected to whorehouses. And that's what I call public school system, nothing but a bunch of whorehouses that poisons the brains of the kids and causes them to lose their soul. That we will fight over, and the government knows that, because there's a lot of groups out there that will not have their kids go to these school systems. They still serve, so we're going to invoke even their own law that, hey, stay back off of us. This is our religion here, and it's against my religion to have my children educated by anybody other than Catholics. Only Catholics can educate my kids. Unless it's some other secular thing where you learn to be a doctor. That's another issue. I don't want to get into that right now. But those things we will resist the state on. But my point is, whatever is right in the state, and there are a lot that still is, there's order, we have to submit to Caesar. We have to give him his due. We have to be as best citizens as we could, and we have to pray for the peace and the conversion of all the people around us. And a lot of times for the conversion of the people around us, that means we're praying even that God may give them some turmoils in their life to convert. So the first duty we have when we're living in an ungodly land is pray for the conversion of the land and the people. Both. Lord, I want this nation to be turned into a Catholic nation. I want this democracy thing to be thrown out because God doesn't support democracy. I don't want to talk about that here. He doesn't. It's a stupid, silly thing. It's illogical and it's not even really true. There's no such thing as a democracy. You're ruled by the people who have the money and the power, and that's the end of it. But we're not going to talk about that here now. But our number one goal is to pray for the conversion of everybody in this country, including the leaders. So every time when I pray for the leaders, I pray first and foremost for truth or consequences, the city that we're living in here. So I pray for all the civic and political leaders and truth or consequences. I don't know who the mayor is now. Who's the mayor? Was it Rainey? I don't know if he still is. Well, I pray for him. I pray for the conversion of his soul. And I pray for all the political and civic leaders and truth or consequences, New Mexico. And then I pray for all the state leaders in New Mexico with Governor Richardson. I pray for him that God may please open up his heart to the saving word of the gospel, the Catholic gospel. And then I pray for the federal government with George Bush and all the federal political. I pray for in that sequence because we happen to be living in DRC. I'm most concerned about who's around me immediately. And then I pray for the state government and then I pray for the federal government. And I pray for God to open their hearts, at least to make it so that they will not oppress us and allow us to preach this gospel and for their conversion. And because you got to love them, too. You love them. They're ungodly, yes, but I was ungodly at one time myself, and by the grace of God, that's where I would be. Now, that doesn't mean we're supporting the United States. It is a Babylonian whore. You know me say to her all the time. It's the biggest harlot that ever existed. She's a Judeo-Masonic harlot that has the blood of all the martyrs on her hands. Even like Nebuchadnezzar when he went to Jerusalem and killed the Jews and burnt the temple. But God even said, you still got to go under him now. Antichrist is a minister of justice of God. God uses the Antichrist to punish his own people and to punish a faithless world. You know, so here we are living in this country as a punishment because our forefathers have lost the faith long ago. But at the same time, we do not want to be fallen into the category of these patriotic people. We are not that way. We are not rebels against law and order. We want law and order. We want to have peace for our neighbor. But true peace for our neighbor first means the salvation of his soul. Now, that means too, so now we're talking about our duty to pray and work. And work for the salvation. Work for the salvation means we have to preach the dogma. Yep. Anytime we have an opportunity and somebody seems to be of goodwill and they're willing to listen to us, we have to tell them, I'm telling you this because I love you. If we get drawn before a judge and this thing comes up and the judge asks us, the leader asks us, what are you guys doing? You're creating trouble. No, you're not. I'm not creating trouble, Governor so-and-so. If it was Governor Richardson. We're not creating trouble. I'm speaking for the true God, who's the Catholic God and the true Catholic Church, whom you, nobody knows anymore, because we're living in the days of great apostasy. I'm telling this for the love of your own soul and for the sake of everybody in New Mexico and in this world. I'm here to tell you that you need to get back to God to save your own soul. I actually love you whether you know it or not. But I do not love your sinful ways and the abominable laws that are being passed in this country. That's the way we have to speak to these people. That is praying and working for their salvation. You see, Daniel, when he was in Babylon, everybody knew he was a holy man who prayed to his own God, and they got jealous of him. And they even tried to instigate Nebuchadnezzar against him, because they saw he prayed three times a day to his own God, and instigated Nebuchadnezzar to make the big idol and command everybody to worship only that God. And then Daniel said, you went too far now. That ain't going to happen. No, sir, that's not going to go. And Joseph, when he was in Egypt, God submitted Joseph in Egypt. He even submitted the Jews under the yoke of the Egyptian slavery for 400 years. So no, we're not these patriotic rebel people. Because I've heard these patriotic people too come out and say, we're not going to have nobody rule over us. We're free. What do you think is going to happen when if they ever lived in a true Catholic country? They ain't going to want nothing to do with it. Because they're rebels. They don't want to listen to nobody. And guess what? In a way, this patriotic movement is a backlash against the people that started this country, which were rebels against England. First, the Protestants rebelled against the Catholic Church in England, and the Anglicans, they're all Protestants, really, technically, they protest against the Church. And then they even protested against England and came to the United States, so they're rebel 10 times over. It's just the spirit of rebellion is anything outside of Catholic Church is spirit of rebellion anyway. But our duty under here is to realize what we have to do as Catholics. We have to pay our taxes, as I just said. We have to show them that we're good workers and good citizens and everything that's not sinful, helping the people on good, just causes. There's nothing wrong with that. At the same time, when you're helping them and their corporal works of mercy and corporal things that need to be done in town, we witness to them too. I just say, look, I'm here to help you. I want to give you some food because you're hungry. But I want to tell you, this food, you're going to get hungry again in a couple hours. I want to give you something that you really need. Salvation for your soul so that you live forever after you die. That's the kind of way we have to talk to the people. Most people are not going to mind it. They might not like it. But you are going to get, sooner or later, people that are going to really go against it. That's their problem. That we can never stop doing. We can never stop preaching the dogma. We can never stop preaching the Catholic faith to those who are of goodwill. We have to always continue to pray for the conversion. And the only time that we can actually, when it comes to the point where we are going to have to separate from the United States, because it then becomes totally impossible for us to save our souls by obeying their laws, such as your children have to go to our public school system, we're going to come in and sterilize all your women because we don't want more kids like they do in China, or they're going to do anything like that, then we declare war against them and it's legal in God's eyes. Amen. We actually succeed in the United States and say, I'm setting up the papal flag, I'm going to reclaim this land, and we succeed from this state, we are no longer part of you, we are in war against you. And then you watch how our Catholic gods are going to come to our defense. But that only has to happen when they push us to the point where they are then making it impossible for us to save our immortal souls. When they are actually coming into our home and forcing their pagan ways on us. And when that happens, then we go to war. We tolerate democracy because God put us here. We tolerate what we cannot change. But that doesn't mean we accept it. And that does not mean we believe it's good. It's not good. You know, and that's why even it's the duty of all Catholics in civic action to stand out against abortion, to speak out. If we had more people in here, we'd have a whole wing that would just go out there and protest against abortion, protest against gay marriages, and we'd have Catholics against the abortion, true Catholics. And of course, we would tell them, you cannot pray with the Protestants because you're not the same. That stuff is hogwash, but you can still protest in tandem with them. They can be there and anybody else who wants to, but we stay with our own group. And at the same time, we go up to the Protestants and say, this is a good cause in the natural plane. I understand it. But I want to tell you one thing. This is not the ultimate cause. The ultimate cause is the death of souls, and you Protestants have dead souls. You abort souls. Every one of you Protestants and Jews and Muslims and Hindus who are fighting against abortion have dead souls. And you kill souls, not just bodies. So we have to also make that clear to the people we'd be protesting with, but we can still go there and protest this because it's a good thing to protest against. God's not for abortion because abortion is murder, obviously. Now, the government has conspiracies. Yes, they have to be exposed. I'm not against that. They are. The 9-11s, the Wacos, all these different conspiracies that you have out there. We have to go against the conspiracies, the Holocaust conspiracies, all these. There is conspiracy, and that's part of the Catholic faith also, to expose the works of darkness and their conspiracies, lies, and lies, which always move to justify the Antichrist and condemn the true Catholicism. Okay, so now, also, we have to, as I said, we have to protest against sins of blasphemy and immorality in a non-Catholic state. We always have to do that. And if we can't prevent it, we have to, tooth and nail, fight for it in our own little property. If God sees fit that we should only have 1 acre of land, I say, fine. You do what you want outside of that. I cannot force you to become godly. But I will tell you one thing. You are not going to come onto my property and turn it into an ungodly property. Because if it ever does happen, you're going to have to kill us or take me prisoner. It ain't going to happen. Period. I mean, you're going to have to lock me up in jail and take my property away, or you have to kill me and shoot me dead. Because you're not going to bring your whoredoms and your false teachings and your false doctrines and your immoralities into this little land that God has given us. That's why Catholics were so much better off when they were in the ghettos. Ghettos were a blessing for Catholics. Ghettos were little Catholic conclaves in an ungodly world in which you could have saved our souls. But the minute they let Catholics out of the ghettos and into the suburbs, that tells you that 100% brought the American harlot's dream of Judeo-Masonic. They were no longer Catholic. They were materialistic, capitalistic pigs who no longer had the faith. They were now worthy to be let out of the ghettos because they were no longer a threat to the non-Catholics that ruled this world. We were better off in ghettos. And you look at even people that aren't Catholics that are zealous about their false religions, like the Talmud of Jews and the Muslims, some zealous Muslims and groups, they will have their own little groups to say, back off, we don't go there. The Amish, look at the Amish. They're heretics and they're going to go to hell, yes, but even they make a stand for their false religion. How much more should us Catholics make a stand for our religion? And we will be wise as serpents and simple as doves and invoke their own laws. You say there's religious, I want to have my religious freedom in here. We don't support religious liberty as a principle from God because it's not. But that's another issue. God doesn't support religious freedom and liberty. He doesn't. But if we're living in a state that doesn't, it's going to benefit us. We're going to invoke that law for our purpose. But at the same time, we're going to say, if we were in power as Catholics, we cannot allow you to have public freedom to worship your own gods. We can't force you to become Catholic. You can have Protestants in a Catholic land, but he has to keep his mouth shut when he's in public, and he can only practice his religion in his house privately. That's another issue. I don't want to get into that now. So we'll end that for here. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.